Fresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. That's Paul over there on the board. He always does a great job. And I'm on this side of the microphone, and we are thankful that this little triangulation is completed when you tuned in to 91.5 FM, 8:30 of a morning, 5 o'clock of an evening, or WWBC 1510 AM at 10:30 of a morning. So thank you for being a part of this program. So I've pastored Merritt Assembly of God now for 28 and a half years, and we still have a seat saved for you. And so if you do not have a church home, we would love for you to come and be a part of what God is doing, where at Merritt Assembly of God, our mission statement is to be a blessing. And that's why we are on the radio program. And I continue to learn stuff as I'm going through these various topics of study. I was asked to teach a class one time, and I turned it down. And it wasn't because I did not believe in the subject matter. It was that I did not believe in my ability to cover the subject matter in any sort of meaningful way in the limited number of class sessions that I was going to have. And so I said, I think I'm going to pass on that one. And I'm thankful that the radio program gives us the ability to dive into the Word of God and find out, hey, what does God really have to say about this subject, and how can we apply that to our lives? So today we're going to be in Proverbs, the 21st chapter, Proverbs 21. We're going to be striving to cover three different verses in Proverbs chapter 21. Reading the whole chapter doesn't really do you much because many of these are just little one-verse proverbs. And so we're going to read verse number 3, verse number 7, and then verse number 14 and 15. It says, "To do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice." Verse number 7, "The violence of the wicked will destroy them because they refuse to do justice." And verse 14, "A gift in secret pacifies anger, and a bribe behind the back strong wrath. It is a joy for the just to do justice, but destruction will come to the workers of iniquity." So let's look at verse number 3, and we'll see that our first principle here is that justice is highly valuable to God. It says, "To do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice." To do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. So we need to find out the things that are acceptable to the Lord and do those things, prioritize those things. And you will find that when it is acceptable to the Lord, that it is excellent. You know, that as I was looking up the meaning of the word acceptable here, looked in my lexicon, and among the many meanings, it says acceptable or excellent or chosen over. Chosen over. And you know, I always hated when we were choosing sides growing up because I was such a little scrawny kid. I was pretty athletic, but I was just short and tiny and just didn't gain any real size to me or girth to me until after I got married. And so if you were picking teams for athletics, you didn't want me on your team necessarily. But, you know, if you were wanting somebody to help you, you know, with math or something like that, pick me because I was pretty good in that area. So I always got overlooked or chose, other people were chosen before me. Well, God has a choice preference. And so here in this particular passage, he says, more acceptable than sacrifice is righteousness, right standing before God. And so we want to maintain that right standing before God. And the second principle that is more acceptable to God than sacrifice or 1,000 sacrifices is justice. And that is that you and I are treating other people the way that God wants them to be treated. I'm going to say that again. Justice is treating other people the way God wants us to treat other people. So it doesn't matter about your personal feelings. Your personal feelings need to come into alignment with what God has to say, not the other way around. Well, when I looked at that verse, it's like, you know, that sounds extremely familiar. And if you go back to 1 Samuel chapter 15, you will find that Saul had been commissioned by God to go and win a battle and deal with the Amalekites. And it says, this is what Saul's instructions were. Now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and do not spare. Saul goes to battle and he wins the battle, and Agag was the king. And it says in verse number 9 or verse number 8, he also took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, all that was good, and were unwilling to destroy them. But everything despised and worthless, that they utterly destroyed. Now the word of the Lord came to Samuel, saying, I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord all night. So when Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul went to Carmel, and indeed he set up a monument for himself, and he has gone on around, passed by, and gone down to Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Saul, and listened to this. And Saul said to him, blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. But Samuel said, what then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen, which I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. And Samuel said to Saul, be quiet, and I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night. And he said to him, speak on. So Samuel said, when you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? Listen to this. Verse number 20. And Saul said to Samuel, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission which the Lord sent me and brought back Agag, king of the Amalekites. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the plunder, sheep and oxen, the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. Saul was so deluded that even though he knew what the command was, and he knew that he did not fulfill the assignment that had been given to him, he was still convinced that he had kept the command of God. He thought his path, his method, what he had chosen to do, was going to be better than what God had commanded for him to do. And I tell you that that mindset of arrogance that every one of us is capable of, that says, my way is better than what I've been instructed, and I'm walking in full compliance with what God has told me to do. That mindset ends up setting us up for the third thing that is better than sacrifice, and that is obedience. Righteous is better than sacrifice. Justice is better than sacrifice. And obedience is better than sacrifice. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And so we don't want to walk in that sort of deception. It sets us up not for the blessing of God, but it sets us up to be replaced. Okay? Partial obedience, God identifies as rebellion. I've told you of a time when God had spoken to me and told me to prayer walk all of Merritt Island from the bridge down just north of O'Galley all the way up to the Space Center and from the Indian River all the way to the Banana River. And so I did. I stopped at the boundary for NASA property up there. That's where I went. But I walked the perimeter, learned things about the island that I did not know, saw things I hadn't seen. And but it's a big island. You might not think it's all that large of an island, but it stretches a long, long ways. And that first day was a 12-mile walk, and I was hurting after that. And I was much younger. I'm not even sure I was out of my 30s when I made that walk. Well, let's see. I guess I probably was out of my 30s. Yeah, I would have been in my 40s when I made that walk, because my son was driving. So after that 12-mile walk, I was hurting. I had gone through my water supply, and I was cramping up, and God in his mercy let me go on for a while. And one day he challenged me in my prayer closet, and he said, "Did you ever finish that walk?" And I said, "No, sir, I didn't." And he said, "Well, let me give you a strategy that will help you to get this done." And you know what? I'm thankful that he didn't let me slide on that forever, because it was after that that I saw things about the island that I'd never seen before. It was still painful. That was a 12-mile stretch. I did a 19-mile stretch, got absolutely soaking wet on that, had to call my daughter for that one. To come get me, because I started cramping up again. But I'm very thankful that I learned that you got to do it God's way, do what God says in God's timing, if you want God's blessing. Now, there are a number of other passages. If you drop back to Proverbs chapter 15, it says this: "The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. The way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but he loves him who follows righteousness." And so whatever we have to offer to God, the prerequisite for it being acceptable to him is that our heart isn't wicked. It's not hiding sin, concealing sin, full of sin, but it is a repentant heart, a humble heart, a heart of obedience. And Proverbs 15 says that anything other than that is an abomination. Now we're going to talk about abomination probably. It'll be in a near program. I'm not thinking we're going to get through all three of these things today. So that might throw the timeline off on the abomination until next week sometime. But you know what it says? If it's an abomination to the Lord, and I will tell you what a Bible college professor told me, and he was explaining it in human terms, and he was saying, you know, the way something makes you nauseous, you know, and I've had the opportunity to try a Dutch Amish canned food item when I was much younger, and I'll never try it again. I took one chew, and that was as far as it got. Just one bite down on it, and it's like, nope. My parents were glad that I even tried it, but it was something that instantly I knew that, I know my palate has changed, and I've learned to appreciate some things as an adult that I didn't like as a kid, but that's not going to be one of them. Pickled lamb's tongue is not going to be one of them. So don't send me any pickled lamb's tongue. It was just gross. That's what happens whenever we make a sacrifice to the Lord, but our heart with him isn't correct. So if you look at Isaiah chapter 1, it says this in verse number 10. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me? Says the Lord, I have had enough of burnt offerings of ram and the fat of fed cattle. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand? To trample my courts. Listen to this. Bring no more futile sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons, the Sabbaths, and the calling of the assemblies. I cannot endure iniquity in the sacred meetings. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They are a trouble to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. So I think God was saying, your sacrifices aren't acceptable to me, because there's a disconnect between what you're calling worship and the way that you're living your life. There should not be a disconnect. Our profession of faith and our lifestyle should line up. Our heart is the first thing that we need to present to God. See if there be any unclean thing in me. You know, you can look back at Cain and Abel, and you can see one sacrifice was acceptable and the other offering was not. One was offered in faith, one was not. So there's a lot of different elements to this. And one more verse, it's in the book of Hosea chapter 6. And it has this to say, Hosea chapter 6, verse number 4. O Ephraim, what shall I do to you? O Judah, what shall I do to you? For your faithfulness is like a morning cloud, and like the early dew, it goes away. Therefore, I have hewn them by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth. And your judgments are like light that goes forth. For I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. Let me start off by saying this. Faithfulness is a far too rare commodity in our modern society. I don't know about you, but I don't like it when politicians say one thing and then they do another. I'm going to start off with an easy one. I don't like it when a salesman promises one thing but isn't faithful to come through on that. So I think we're coming, you know, at this, and we can all get an amen and an agreement on the importance of those segments of society being faithful. But I tell you that there is unfaithfulness that goes on. There's unfaithfulness in marriages at far too high a rate. That bothers me immensely. Whenever there is unfaithfulness, you know, I've just seen so many people suffer. I've seen more people on the victim side of things where they were being faithful, but their spouse wasn't being faithful. And that's heart-wrenching. It's terrible. It's painful to watch a person go through that. There's also way too much unfaithfulness in the church. We can look at unfaithfulness and you know, you can see it in celebrities. You know, why anybody would want to be famous, I don't know, because there are so few people in the celebrity class of America that have any sort of degree of faithfulness in their life at all. Why would you want to be rich or famous if you knew that you were going to experience repeating unfaithfulness and heartbreak? I don't get it. And so there's unfaithfulness there, and it's not the pastor and the board that needs to be faithful at church. It's everybody at church. There should not be any unfaithfulness in the church. But even if man is unfaithful, God says he is going to remain faithful, and that's good enough for me to keep pressing on because he is faithful. Now, it goes on and it says in verse number 6, God desires mercy, not sacrifice. So you've got righteousness is better than sacrifice. You've got justice that is better than sacrifice. You've got obedience that is better than sacrifice. You've got mercy that is better than sacrifice. And the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. This particular passage is mentioned a couple of times in the scripture. Jesus told the disciples, or told the religious leadership, said, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Okay? I think Matthew chapter 9, if I'm not mistaken on that. I'm turning to try and get that real quick. Matthew chapter 9. Like I said, maybe it's Matthew chapter 12. anyway, it's in Matthew. It's in Matthew, I'm not seeing the reference here right away, and I apologize for that. But he said, go and learn what this means. Well, you know, they kind of took that and didn't do anything with it. And a few chapters later, Jesus comes back and says, if you had known what this meant, it would have changed your behavior. It would have changed the words that you said. It would have changed your attitude. And you know what? God desired mercy more than sacrifice in the Old Testament. He desires mercy more than sacrifice in Jesus' ministry in the New Testament. And he desires mercy more than sacrifice in our day and time as well. So let's look again. To do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. So today I want to make sure that it's not one or the other. Okay? Let me finish off with this. A lot of people say, well, if this is more acceptable than this, I'll do this and then I don't have to do this and it won't impact that area of my life. That's not what this is saying at all. What it is saying is you've got to get the prerequisite right first. You've got to get your heart right. You've got to get your actions right. And when you do that, then the sacrifice that you make will cause you to end up in the hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. Because Abel had his heart right, had his sacrifice right, did not have a lot of opportunities, didn't have a long life, it doesn't appear, because somebody who didn't have their heart right ended up becoming bitter when their sacrifice was rejected. And as a result of that, they went out and killed Abel, even though God had warned them. Hey, if you don't get this right, sin is crouching at the door. You know what Saul? What happened to Saul? He ended up trying to kill David multiple times. I heard it said, you know, God told David, "Hey, I'm going to anoint you. You're going to be the king. You're going to be able to tell everybody what to do. You're going to be rich. You're going to be powerful. You're going to be victorious and." People are going to be trying to kill you your whole life. He said, oh, God kind of overlooked that part of the declaration. And I want you to know there's a lot of times where when people don't have their heart right, that those who are doing things right end up facing a backlash. You know, there are a lot of people who have preconceived ideas, prejudiced ideas against what being a pastor looks like because they've seen some pastor who didn't have his heart right and the damage and the devastation that brought into a community or into the body of Christ at large. Let's get our heart right. Let's get our sacrifice right, and let's make sure it's acceptable to God. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@Hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Full of pity, love, and power.